Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I prepared a message for this morning from a passage which I've never preached about missions from, and that's Philippians chapter 4. I'd like for you to follow in your Bibles as we read, beginning in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care hath me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with me with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to look into your word. We ask that you would give us understanding about this important matter of giving for missions. And Lord, just pray you'll work in each heart. Help us all to be willing to give what you want us to give. As we receive our faith promise cards in a few minutes, we ask, Lord, that your will might be done in that. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All this month, we have emphasized missions by having different missionaries on each Sunday of the month. Today, Mrs. Widener has challenged our hearts about Romania. In a few minutes, you will be passing in your faith promise cards and telling the Lord and to the church how much you desire to give every month for missions. As we think about that, and before you actually pass in your cards, I want to look at this passage and consider six truths about giving for missions. The truths we learn are from the Apostle Paul. He was the first Christian missionary who has a right to tell us, and well, it was actually God's word telling him, and then he tells us. He has a right to tell us about missions because he was the first Christian missionary, and those who try to determine how many miles he traveled in his ministry come up with the figure 9,150 miles that he traveled in his missionary journeys. This was before cars or airplanes or anything like that. Some of his missionary journeys, he traveled on a ship. Otherwise, he was traveling on a horse or a donkey, maybe even a camel, I don't know. But he traveled in those ways, and he covered a lot of territory. In doing that, he taught us some things about missions. Paul's own desire for missions was that he be able to preach the word where others had not heard about Jesus Christ. He expressed that in Romans chapter 15, verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. And so he would go where people had not been to share the gospel. Paul and Barnabas had been sent out by the church at Antioch. And the Holy Spirit told the church at Antioch, he said this, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So missions is God's work. It's God's business, and it's very important, and therefore it should be done in God's ways. Therefore, the instructions that we find in this passage are very important to us as God's people. Let's look at some of the truths about giving for missions. The first one is this. Giving for missions is our way of showing that we care about the missionary. Paul said it like this in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. They always cared for him, and he makes that clear. but they lacked opportunity at times. You remember, this was before U.S. Postal Service. This was before the means that we have of getting messages to people. And so they lacked opportunity, but when they could, they gave to Paul. And Paul said, "You gave to me, and I rejoice in this. It was such a blessing to me that you gave." They cared for Paul, and that's why they gave. And so we could say this: a church with no missionary program is a church that really does not care about God's missions to other people. If you let that sink in, I know many years ago when my wife and I came to this church, you had no missionaries. And we began emphasizing faith promise and missions conference and things like that. And through the years, we developed into having several missionaries. We used to have more than we do now for various reasons. Some have not left the field, but we are in the position to take on some more missionaries, and I hope that we can do that through your faith promise giving. But if a church doesn't have a missions program, they're showing that they really don't care, because Paul said, "Your care of me hath flourished." They cared for Paul and what he was doing, so they gave to missions. Now, if you don't give to missions, you might ask yourself, do you really care? Do you care about the people in Romania? Do you care about the people in Japan or other places where we have missionaries? Do you care about those in Brazil? Do you care? And the Bible says if we care, we'll be like the Philippians, and that we will give to missions. You see, God has a heart for missions. The Bible says in Luke 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God has a heart for missions. In Luke chapter 10, after speaking with Zacchaeus, it says this: "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came for that purpose of seeking those that were lost. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so God has a heart for missions, and the question is, do we have a heart for missions? Paul went on to say that he was not distraught because they hadn't given. He learned some things, he said. He learned to be content. Now, that's the missionary's responsibility. Be content even when money's not coming in. Now, that's a problem all of us have. Someone has said people in this world live in one or two tents. They either live in contentment or discontent. And I read where there was two gravestones in England. And one of them read like this: "Is a man and a wife." And it says, "She died for want of things." And then on his, it said this: "He died trying to give them to her." That's probably true sometimes. You see, Paul had learned that he could be content with Christ, and that God would provide his needs, and he could wait on the Lord. So being content and trusting Jesus, he was able to say in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So being content and trusting Jesus is the missionary's responsibility on the field. But being willing to give and care for missionaries is our response here. And lots of times that's tied with our content too. And because we can become so content with our financial standing and what our finances are providing for us, that we're not willing to share that and maybe take away some of that contentment and share that with other people. But there is missionaries' responsibility. Trust the Lord. Don't grumble. Don't complain. But the church's responsibility: care about them and send them money. And so that's one of the first truths, or the first truth from this passage. The other one is this: giving for missions pleases God. Giving for missions pleases God. It's interesting, verse 14 says it like this: "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." You have well done. God says, if you give to missions, I say to you, well done. Well done, Christian, you gave to missions. Matthew chapter 25, the Lord gave the parable of the talents. And he said one man had five talents. Master gave him five talents. He went out and gained five more. Another one had two talents, and he went out and gained two more. And the Bible said to both of those people, well done. And then one had one talent, and he was afraid of his master. He went out and buried it in the earth and hid it. So it would be there when the master came back, and the master rebuked him for that. And the whole reason for the story is that God wants us to be faithful with what he gives us. He gives to different people different things, but we're to be faithful. And if we are, then God will say, well done. I ask you this, are you a well done Christian? Now, you might not like your steak well done, but I guarantee you God likes his believers well done. He wants to say well done to them. And then also it says our giving for missions is an acceptable sacrifice. God says that we sacrifice in giving to the missions, and it's an acceptable sacrifice, he says in verse 18. You might say, I cannot afford to give to missions. I would have to cut back on other things in my budget. It would hurt our finances if I gave to missions. Yes, it might. But also, if you give to missions, it'll be a sacrifice that God says he is pleased with. It's an acceptable sacrifice. The picture is given in verse 18 of God in heaven and his response to our giving. And he says this, it smells good to me. It smells good to me. He says, but I have all and abound, I'm full, received of Epaphroditus, the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable unto God, well-pleasing to God. So God says that we are to give because it pleases him. And he says, if you give to me, it smells good to me. I think it's a wonderful thing that you've done. It's pleasing to me. And so God wants his Christians well done and well pleasing. And that's what we should desire to be. Another thing about giving to missions is giving to missions is needed because many others will not give. In this passage, it says, from the beginning of his ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that no church ever supported him. It means from the start of his ministry, there was only one. One church that supported him. That was the Philippians. And the Philippians gave to Paul. And so we should give to missions because it'll be true that a lot of people aren't. And we need to do that. When Paul began his ministry, the Philippians were there to help him. And he said, we had an account of giving and receiving. They tell us that that is a business, those are business terms. And the term was this, they gave to Paul and Paul received. It was a giving and receiving account. And so let's be faithful to give to missions. We set up an account with our missionaries. We give to them and then they receive from us. And then you might say, well, do we get anything out of that? Well, the next thing we want to mention that's true about missions handles that. Giving for missions guarantees us fruit that will remain to our account. Look at verse 17. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So when you have this relationship with a missionary, you give, they receive. There's another part of that is, and that is you receive fruit that will abound that to your account. And so the Lord says, I make sure that I give you fruit from your what you do for missions. Now, God keeps the records. Someone asked me not long ago, how many funerals have you had? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't keep records. I couldn't even tell you how many marriages I've had. I can't tell you how many people I've led to the Lord. I don't keep records, but I know somebody who does, and that's the Lord. And when you give to missions, the Lord keeps the records. He's the one that determines out there on that field, many miles away, maybe across the other side of the world, the Lord's keeping tabs. And that mission, that money you gave to enable that missionary to be there, what they accomplished for the Lord is fruit to your account. And we won't know about it till we get to glory. And we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the record keeper, will reveal. Matthew chapter 6 says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. You see, when you give to missions, you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You leave the accounting to the Lord. You faithfully give, leave it up to God to take care of the fruit. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will we have fruit? Will you have fruit? Or will it have been all about you and what you could do with your money, and you didn't have any concern about people in other parts of the world and who do not know Jesus? I've written down this. I was thinking about it, and I wrote this down. I think it's true. It would be a misfortune to the church if the gospel could be preached to the world free of cost. Think about that. It would be a misfortune to the church if the gospel could preach to the world free of cost. It didn't cost us anything, but it does cost us something. Could God do it free of cost? Sure, He could. He could send angels to prepare the gospel, but He doesn't. He sends us. We can't go, so we gave money so they can go, and they go to the field, and the Lord gives us the reward. So it would really be a misfortune to us if God didn't allow us to have a part in that through our giving. And so giving is very important. Then another thing, truth, is this. Giving for missions guarantees that God will provide our needs. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Some Christians think that's like a blank check. You know, I know Jesus. He's going to provide all my needs. That's not what that verse says. The context is, he's written to the Philippians, and he says to the Philippians, you have given to me. You have helped me as a missionary. Therefore, God will supply your needs. You see, don't claim that verse if you don't serve the Lord. Don't claim that verse if you're not honest in your giving to the Lord. If you don't have a burden of heart for missions, don't say that God's going to provide everything that you need. Well, maybe He won't, and maybe that'll be a way of getting you to understand you need to obey the Lord in your giving. You see, when we bless others, God will bless us. Luke 6 says, give and it shall be given unto you. This is the principle. You give, and the Lord shall give unto you. That's the principle behind verse 19. My God shall supply all your need. Why? Because you have given. Give and it shall be given unto you. You see, God used means to meet Paul's needs. The means were the Philippian church sent money to him. That was a means to meet his need. Paul is saying, I'm convinced that God will have a means to meet your need. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know how it'll happen, but He'll do it. He'll meet your needs. God does that all the time. And by the way, as a church, let's remember that. If we want God to bless us here, then we need to be doing what God wants us to do here. We're wanting to build a new church building on our property. Some would reason, I've heard this reasoning in the past, not from this church, but I have heard it. And that is, you know, we need to do this project. We can't afford all this missions giving. We need to cut back on a mission so we can do it. That's the last thing you want to do. That's the last thing you want to do. We want to increase our mission so God sees he can trust us. And you see, if the Lord allows us to have a new place and a nicer facility, and we attract more people in a better place and all that, and the congregation grows, what happens? Well, that base grows, and the ability to give to missions grows, and the ability to do more for the Lord grows, and that's the purpose. And so God wants us to obey Him, and He promises He will provide our needs. And then the last truth is this. Giving for missions will bring glory to God. Verse 20 says it. It says this, now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You remember 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Giving to missions brings glory to God. You see, giving for missions enables missionaries to go to the field. And when Sarah gets to go to the field, there'll be a lot of people in her church and others say, praise the Lord. Well, we're giving glory to God because this was accomplished. Giving for missions provides housing and Bibles and tracts and a vehicle and for the missionary. And when that's provided, people say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. And God's getting glory for it. When giving to mission enables the preaching of God's words and word, and souls are saved, and glory goes to God, and there's rejoicing in heaven over a soul saved. All the glories to God. Giving to missions results in changed lives, like one of these Roma children growing up as they do. They don't have many privileges, and they're not educated, and they can't read. And Sarah goes there and helps alleviate some of those problems. And that child who trusts the Lord as their Savior then grows in the Lord and becomes a Christian, a contributing member to that church. And God gets the glory for it. Glory to God. It results of saved telling others about Jesus, and that brings glory to God, because these saved people tell other people about Jesus and brings glory to them. And then just think about the results of giving for missions, and when that soul is in heaven. The Lord speaks of that in Ephesians chapter 2, and we want to close with that. And it says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. And when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his glory and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So who are we going to be boasting about when we get to heaven? We're going to be boasting about Jesus. And we'll be an eternal trophy of God's grace when we get to heaven. And all throughout the ages, God will be getting glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, these are reasons that we should give to missions. They're truths concerning our giving to missions. And I hope that all of you, After hearing these truths, that in our giving for missions is our way of showing we care about missionaries. It's giving to missions pleases God. Giving to missions is needed because others will not give. Giving for missions guarantees fruit to our account. And giving for missions guarantees that God will provide our needs. And giving to missions will provide glory, will bring glory to God. Knowing that to be true, I hope that you'll consider what you write down in your faith promise card and say, Lord, I want to be a part of bringing glory to you through missions. Help me to sacrifice, help me to give, and may God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for enabling us, Lord, to see some very important truths from this passage. And I ask that we would be faithful givers, so that people might hear in other lands, so that missionaries might be provided for, so they can go. We thank you for Sister Widener today, who's ministered to us. I pray that you would bless her and meet her goals, Lord, of being able to be at 75% by July and 100% by January. I pray that you might grant that for her. Bless now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.